Autobots are a bunch of fools. Don't even think about winning this battle.
Just who do you think you are? Where are you from?
All right, listen up. I'm the ninja consultant for the Decepticons. My name is Sixshot.
Oh, yeah?
Now you know who I am. Look out!
And welcome to episode 24 of Ninja Consultant Podcast.
That's not 24A, it is 24. This will be a standalone episode.
I hope.
As we look forward to next week, our one-year anniversary.
Right. Our one-year podcast anniversary is going to be on Monday, July 10th. And so...
I thought it was July 9th.
I can't really tell. I think from the publication, we're going to say the 10th.
All right.
Okay. Unless anyone can prove us wrong otherwise. What we're going to do is, if you're in New York City... and you're 21 or over. And I
or
think,
even if you're not.
So it's basically two guys. Nope. There's like Lane and that guy who wrote us last week.
Right. We have two listeners in New York.
Right. And all of my friends who listen to this show. You're invited to join us, if you want, at Swift's Bar, which is in the Village on 4th Street, on East 4th Street. It's east of Broadway.
So
you're on Broadway.
Aaron just said.
And east of Broadway is Lafayette and then the Bowery. And east is like right between, I mean, Swift's is right between those two. Before you reach 2nd Avenue. If
right.
you walk the other way, you end up on NYU's campus. And the closest subway stops are either the 8th Street stop on the R, or the W train, or the Prince Street stop, in which you could walk north. But the absolute closest stop is the 6th train at Bleecker Street.
Right. Basically, you want to walk until you see a bunch of Doctor Who fans.
I don't know if they're having their meeting
they're going to be... I bet they will.
That would be kind of awkward.
Isn't that Monday?
It's the second Monday of...
Second Monday of every month?
Crap. All right.
Oh, it'll be cool. We'll hang out with the Doctor Who people...
Maybe
like,
it's a bunch of British guys. All right, there's a room in the back, and you want to go back there.
You didn't think about that, did you?
I kind of did. I can't remember if it was the first Monday or... Anyway.
It's awesome. And even if you're under 21, you should come. You just can't, imbibe alcoholic beverages
right.
while anyone is...
Oh, what time?
...watching. Huh?
What time?
What are you asking me? Like 7?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I got to work at 7, so yeah.
All right.
Okay, so...
We'll post more coherent directions on the website.
So the next big announcement for our anniversary, just in time for it, we've redesigned our website, or we haven't, this guy named Jack has, and Jack has been, he graciously volunteered, did all the work for free. I have to fill in some content, and we'll see how much of that gets done, but if you've checked
some
out...
Some of it.
If you've checked out the LiveJournal site lately, there is a lot of, the style has changed, and you can see what the new website's going to look like, but a lot of the content is not actually there yet, because I'm not done with it.
And on my browser at work, it looks like someone has taken one site and kind of jammed it into the craw of another.
Oh, really?
Like it loads with the... half of the old LiveJournal.
What are you
on
using?
One side.
Explorer?
Explorer.
Oh, God, no wonder.
Well, what do you want?
Don't use Explorer.
That's what they use. I can't use another browser.
Oh, you can listen to Jack on the MangaCast. He's been doing a manga news thing where he reads the news from the manga blog, and he's doing a pretty good job. He's also read a couple of his own reviews on the MangaCast. You can kind of figure out which episodes those are.
Oh, yeah. And after a year, we think we have finally figured out how to use our equipment. So to everyone who has put up with me popping my peas... I apologize. Hopefully, we are in the clear from now on.
Also, we're going to kind of try and reformat the show, so it'll be less, like, going on for several episodes about one topic, and more segments, and more My Life in Fandom, and more, oh my god, why haven't you seen this yet?
All of which has been demanded, and
right.
we have been slow in responding.
Yeah, over and over again. Also, people have been emailing us all the time, and we just haven't gotten around to doing any listener feedback, because we've been doing a bunch of convention shows. Also, people really like the convention shows, so the convention coverage will continue in perpetuity to feed that audience, people who are too young or poor or lazy to go to conventions or too shy.
But not Anime Expo.
But not Anime Expo.
Because we're not going to Anime Expo.
In fact, it's July 2nd right now as we record this, and Anime Expo is going on. I'm sure people are getting things signed by Clamp or whatever.
So we will not have gone to Anime Expo when you hear this.
Right. Several people email us and are like, are you going to Anime Expo? We plan to keep a list on our website and keep it up to date of the cons that we plan to go to, so you can know for sure ahead of time if we're going to be there or not.
And everyone who offered us a room, that is really cool.
That's
very sweet of you.
Only fish in the barrel. Fish in a barrel? Only they offered
us. Barrel with an A.
Yeah, the Fibcast offered us a couch to sleep on. They didn't offer us a hotel room. They offered us a couch in their home,
whatever.
An hour away. That's still really good. And if you would have told us that like 2 months ago, maybe I would have more considered going to Anime Expo, but telling me 3 days before the con, it's like too late. I can't even drive to the West Coast on that kind of time. Even if I rented a car over the 4th of July weekend and drove it across the country,
yeah,
I would not make it to
about,
California by
then. It would longer to drive there than it would to fly.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying getting a flight at the last minute would be impossible as well. Even if I had a car, which I don't.
That, it would be expensive.
Right.
The point is, we went last year, and we didn't go this year, but maybe...
We made a mistake. Maybe we should have gone this year.
Or maybe next year we'll do ACON.
Well,
and then we can see a bunch of people at ACON who we've never seen before.
It depends on my employment situation.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to take the time right now to respond to some listener email, because we haven't done that in a long time. And in fact, we got a very angry email from our listener named Daniel, last name withheld. I'm getting over a cold, so my voice sounds weird to me. It might not sound weird to you, and it might give out pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's another reason why we haven't
That's why we haven't recorded in a little while. All right.
We've been sick.
So, from Daniel. Hey, Ninja Consultant. This is Daniel, and I've been writing you guys emails to put on your show, and you have never put them on your show. Are my questions that bad that they shouldn't be heard on a podcast? And if people hear them, will they die of some flesh-eating disease? I love your show so much, and I just want to be on your show so I can brag to my friends that I was on Ninja Consultant. But also, I want to hear what you guys thought about Get Backers. I just started the series, and it's pretty funny. You guys rock my socks. Smiley face.
I don't know how cool it is that you're mentioned on our show.
It's
kind of like bragging to people that you have cancer.
When I went through his emails that he sent, it was like there were several chains things. He's like, I got your show so cool, I got my friend to listen to your show, and then we got an email from his friend. Hi, my friend recommended your show. You can tell it's him. It's like the same. We'll get to those emails in a second, too. But Get Backers.
Getters Back, as I like to call them.
I saw a few episodes of that on the Anime Network when it used to show more things and not be so crappy. It seemed all right. It's kind of funny. They seem to be going somewhere weird with superpowery things. Who knows? I guess it's okay. It's not like a great show that I'd be like, oh my god, I must watch the rest of this. It was just sort of like, if it was on, I'd watch it, but it's not, so whatever.
It didn't grab me right away, but that was prior to my new policy of watching more than one episode and, you know, making a judgment based on that. So if it's worth revisiting, perhaps we will do so after we slog our way through Bleach.
We've been trying to watch Bleach, and we've struggled from episode 17 to episode 20. So this is from G4 TV Freak 93. Hi, I'm Daniel. It's him again. Hi, I'm Daniel, and I'm a new Ninja Consultant listener. Your podcast was recommended to me by a friend, but to get to the point, I just wanted to know of a good manga series I can start reading, because I'm tired of waiting for a new Sergeant Frog manga to come out. I'm tired of spending my life waiting and waiting. Please put this on your next show. Actually, he sent that on June 1st.
Oh.
So that's why
this almost is the next show. Maybe it is the next show. Is it the next show?
No,
not at all. June 1st. I thought July 1st, but...
I wrote back to him. I recommended, and he's pretty young, I recommended Cromartie High School or Azumanga Daioh, because I assume if you like Sergeant Frog, you like something that's funny.
Yeah.
And I also recommended, try reading Iron Walk Jan. It's actually really good. It's a cooking manga that's kind of a shonen style, but it's actually really funny. Those were my suggestions for comedy.
Yeah. My suggestions are all probably not age appropriate. But
right.
They're the only suggestions I have.
No suggestions are like Berserk.
Yeah.
Berserk. Lady Snowblood.
No, I mean, people should, Lady Snowblood. Not even sure that I would recommend Lady Snowblood to anyone who didn't really like the genre, but everyone should read Akira, everyone should read... Anyway,
not
the point is, that's probably not what he's looking for.
And it's not what people in the 5th or 6th grade should be reading.
I read it in 5th grade.
Okay, you should read it, but you shouldn't let your parents know that you're reading it.
Oh.
How about that?
Probably not.
Okay.
Unless they're cool.
Your parents will get upset if they find out you've been reading Berserk.
Sorry,
G4 TV Freak 93. Hi, hey, this is Daniel, and I'm in 7th grade. Oh, technically, because my last day was today. This is of June 15th. So, I just wanted to say that you guys have the best podcast ever. Ninja Consultant beats all the other crap on iTunes. But have you guys ever thought about making a video podcast on iTunes? Like, seriously, that would be so coolio, because you show hilariously bad AMVs and have a segment on your show that shows fan art from fans. Big smiley face. Please respond and put this on your next show.
I think that that is actually an excellent idea, aside from the fact that we are reluctant to show ourselves.
Yeah, part of our shtick that some of our newer listeners haven't really caught on to yet is that we don't reveal our last names and we don't show pictures of ourselves because we're ninjas or we're consulting ninjas and our secrecy is really...
I thought it's because we're both really ugly and we would turn people off.
No, that's not true.
Oh, all right. Well, the point is, I think I would love to do a show where we analyzed AMVs that we could actually show and then maybe we could have running commentary during them or something along those lines. I think that would be pretty cool.
It would be pretty illegal. And
illegal?
Yeah.
What's illegal?
Well, it's music we don't own the rights to, plus anime we don't own the rights to. Distributing it on iTunes and distributing it. Do you know how they had to take down all those Evanescence AMVs from the org? It's because someone found an Evanescence AMV on like Google Video and then wrote to the band's lawyer or manager and asked them, oh, did you guys have something to do? This is really cool. And then the lawyer guy was like, wait, what's this? And he like had to write to the org and be like, stop distributing music.
Yeah, well, if you listened to our previous shows, you might glean that I don't really care. It's probably not very likely that we're going to do this anyway, since...
That would require, like, video editing.
Yeah, we've only got... I mean, with the time that we have available to us now, we're not able to put out a show a week.
Yeah.
Which is really what I'd like to be able to do, but it's just not... it's not
really
feasible at this point.
But also, like, the video editing necessary would be kind of... Also, like, AMVs come in different formats, and I don't know how to necessarily convert those formats, and I'm not good at, like, editing stuff in Final Cut Pro and...
Oh, we could...
Outputting it into a video format.
We could have Derek do that if it was, like, once a month. Look, that's not the point. The point is that some number of years ago, I had the idea of running like an AMV segment at conventions that was like Beavis and Butthead, where you'd have characters commenting on an AMV, and it would be hilarious. Maybe not. The point is I never did it because I guess I was lazy, and I don't know. Maybe you might see that someday.
Maybe we'll do an episode like that eventually or something. Or, okay. Anyway, so this is the last one from Daniel before we move on to someone else. Name, Demetrio, age 12, soon to be 13, occupation, 6th grade, nerd, Shinigami, turn-offs, ignorance, violence, people call, manga, comics, love, spicy food, ramen, biggest accomplishment in life, kissing a girl.
Yeah.
Other information, Demetrio isn't average because he dislikes Superman and thinks that he's the funniest guy in the world. Although he's a nerd, he has poor grades, probably because he thinks he's so funny. Hey, shut up. In parentheses. Hello, my fellow ninjas. I'd just like to tell you that my birthday's on Saturday. This was written May 23rd. I guess this was his first.
Oh, good God. Happy birthday.
Ah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Guess we dropped the ball on that one.
One of my good friends, my girlfriend, said that since it's my birthday, you'd do a review for me, even though I doubt it. Well, if you can, please try to pick up the first two volumes of Warcraft the Sundwell Trilogy. It should just say Warcraft, not World of Warcraft. As far as I know, only the first two volumes are out. So if you can't, no biggie. P.S. Superman sucks. And then eggs! Exclamation points that fill the page.
Oh, yeah. So I agree. I don't like Superman at all.
Me neither.
Neither does Aaron. As far as that review of Warcraft goes...
I'm not reading the World of Warcraft manga.
Yeah,
sorry.
Neither am I. But here's the thing. And this is very important. You read those. And if you like them now, put them in a box and wait until you're 20. And then open the box and read them again.
To your girlfriend.
Because let me tell you, I used to read lots of trade paperbacks that were franchise novels, like Star Trek novels, and, good God, I don't even admit, Photon novels. Nobody remembers Photon. Photon was like laser tag. It's a laser tag ripoff.
It's not Votoms.
No, not Votoms.
Photon.
Photon. Look, the point is I loved them when I was 10. And then I picked one up when I was 18, and I was so ashamed of the man I used to be. The proto-otaku I was. More important than a review at the moment can tell you that your aesthetic tastes will most likely change. But then again, if they don't, then I guess you will rediscover this
awesome
great work
things.
That you've put in a box somewhere when you're 20 years old.
But they did show some sample pages of it at the New York Comic Con at one of the panels I went to, and it looked all right. Not terrible. The artwork's pretty good. It's like written by an American guy or Canadian or something, and the artwork is done by this Korean manga artist.
And actually, okay. I maybe we're trash talking this book, and there's no need for us to. We haven't read it, so
we don't
it
even,
might actually
like
be
we
good.
Don't play Warcraft. So if there's a bunch of like insider Warcraft jokes, we're not gonna get it.
That's pretty much true. Like, we have watched people play.
Oh yeah, like tons of our friends play it. They call it Warcrack.
Yeah.
I already have like 15 time-consuming hobbies that could take all my time.
Well, and that's the thing is, if we played World of Warcraft, you would never get to hear this.
Yeah, you wouldn't hear
podcast,
the show ever again.
Ever.
That would be basically if our show ends, you can assume that's what happened.
Yeah.
They don't make Warcraft for Macs, though, do they?
I'm sure our listeners will be happy to answer, though. I'm sure they know.
Yes.
I just want to mention that there was a franchise novel, a novel in a collection of short stories that were based on the Warhammer 40K universe. And remember, this was not when I was 12. I read them when I was like,
this was like last year.
Yeah. Nah, maybe 16 or 17.
Okay.
But they were really good. They were like Warhammer 40K, of course, being the miniatures gaming.
Yeah.
Point
kind of
is,
it's kind of a mixed bag when you get to franchise entertainment.
Yeah. Like, just because it's franchise doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. However,
usually means it's bad.
I would eat my hat if the Doom novelization was any good.
Doom?
Doom.
Like, they make Doom books?
Yeah.
Our friend said that there are two Halo books, and the first one was one of the worst books ever.
I don't doubt it.
And the second Halo book was actually good,
because
it was by someone else. Was
probably
because
he lost so much IQ reading the first one. Who knows? Okay, so the next letter we've got here is from Paul, last name withheld, to whom I think I owe a big apology, because I know that you had wanted an answer from me.
Oh yeah, Paul's not on the cluster map, and we know you're listening, Paul, in Hawaii, and you haven't shown up on the cluster map yet, so we don't have a dot in Hawaii.
I don't know, are we sure?
We're depending on you as our only Hawaiian listener.
Maybe he's like, those guys, they're a bunch of bums.
Yeah, maybe.
I thought that they had something, but nah, it's gone. Well, hopefully a listener, someone will, you know, nudge you in the shoulder and say, hey, they answered your mail, what, like 3 months late? Sorry about that. He asks in the context of a larger email. Email.
All right, so that was bad. Noah just came off sounding like the latest techno star.
Awesome.
It was pretty
awesome. Excited.
I need that mixed into a song right away, Steve.
So that's that email. Oh,
no.
Just kidding. Harsh. Paul, last name withheld. So you want to know why I don't like Escaflowne, because I don't like Escaflowne very much. It could be that you will stop listening to the show now that you know the truth, but it could be that you have already stopped, and so you won't hear this. But in either case, firstly, I object to the character design, which is such that the protagonist knows, what's her name?
Did you actually read his thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I read it.
Oh, I don't remember her name. Hitomi?
Hitomi. Her nose looks like it's going to gouge out Vaughn's eye at any moment.
She's got the
Pinocchio nose going on, where you just think it's going to take out an eyeball.
There's the screaming cat girl.
Master Vaughn! Screaming cat girl.
Where she screams it so many times, Master Vaughn, that you want to kill yourself and everyone else and her all at once. And whenever I see you dressed as her at a con, I'm sure to yell out, Master Vaughn! Kind of quietly, because I'm a coward. But no, actually, I kind of like the show. It's just Noah's incessant talking through the second half made it impossible for me to pay attention.
Oh, and what was I talking about?
Well, as soon as they found Isaac Newton on a floating mountain and he started explaining the physics of the world there, Noah was just like, what a bunch of crap. And also, it didn't help that I was watching it on VHS fan subs where the tracking was kind of bad and the tracking kept going up at the bottom of the screen and overtaking the subtitles. So between some of the subtitles being totally illegible and Noah's incessant whining, I couldn't make any sense of the last
episode. Isaac Newton in a floating mountain,
it was awesome.
Turns out to be the master of time. That could be okay.
It was totally sweet.
But these cat girls had their blood replaced with fortunate blood.
That was awesome.
That was not awesome.
It was hilarious.
That
was bad guy pseudoscience that went wrong.
What they did was
in the Escaflowne world, luck is a serious and major factor that affects everyone's lives. It's not just, you know, hocus pocus, whatever. The bad guys had the brilliant idea to make a synthetic blood based on the blood of many fortunate people, like people who are really, really lucky. And then they replaced two of the characters' real blood with this fortunate blood.
And you're done.
For a little while, they had really, really good luck.
And you're done.
They aged really fast.
Right there.
What do you mean? It's great. It's mad science, and it didn't work out for them.
Yeah, it didn't work out for me, the viewer.
When you think about it, it's a very Japanese concept. They always work on like blood type fortunes and stuff like that. Like for them, there's your regular horoscope for your astrological sign, and then there's your blood type horoscope.
Huh.
It's a long-standing thing there. They always want to know what's the character's blood type, and that's why, so they can tell what their horoscope is.
When you put it that way,
it's also like in Eastern religions, mythologies, luck is a really important thing. People wear big pieces of jade all the time to hopefully increase their luck. It's not a random thing like in the Western culture where if, you know, it's either your fate or not according to God or something.
Right.
It's so luck and fortune telling would be is right out if you're in a Western, very kind of religious environment.
Right.
But for an Eastern environment and in a very Japanese setting, having lucky blood, it's crazy. But there's not like there's no precedent for it. Of course it's ridiculous, but it does have consequences. It's not like it actually... I mean, it does work for a few minutes, but being mad science, that's all. Anyway, that episode was awesome.
You make a compelling case,
yeah.
But still, no. So let's see. Was there anything else?
No, it was very quick.
The only character who I think would have enjoyed seeing more of is killed in the second episode, which...
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, and that's it. He's
bummer
done.
When he dies.
Over.
But anyway, Escaflowne is pretty good, and I think in order to be a regular kind of anime fan, you should have seen Escaflowne. It was really big a few years ago, and when I went to NYU anime clubs... old school night, I was surprised to find that they were playing Escaflowne. Because I'm like, come on, that's from like 10 years ago. That's not old school. Like, I thought they were going to show like stuff from the 60s, but no, they were showing stuff that was popular in the mid-90s. Because to them, as college students in 2003 or 2004, that was old school. Because it was what they were watching when they were freshmen in high school or something like that.
So, there you have it. Paul, hold on. There's more to this. Paul, last name withheld, says, regarding host clubs. In my understanding, while hostess clubs are largely as you describe them, Host clubs are often out to essentially strong-arm money from the girls they draw in, and in the worst cases are trying to recruit for prostitution scams, etc. So, I would say that some host clubs are entertainment for women, while others are somewhat more exploitative. I'm sure that this is the case, but that's
I'm sure it's that way for everything in Japan. I'm just assuming. So, it's a real modeling agency, or they're recruiting prostitutes.
Right. Or it's a real bakery, or...
It's a yaoi bakery.
It's a yaoi bakery. Recruiting... Right. I only have to say that one of the reasons why I find Ouran High School Host Club to be rather unenjoyable is I cannot separate in my mind this very skeevy kind of dark underbelly of the city sort of conception of a gigolo and what the host industry really is, and then this light, fantastic version that they are trying to get across.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that.
It's fantasy.
Yeah, I can't. For reason, I can't. I can't do it.
You're not a girl. All right. So I wanted to respond to Daryl's live journal comment, or at least read it, because it was so awesome, about our first episode about Anime Boston, where we interviewed a lot of parents who were like, oh, it's fun for all ages and everyone's here and so forth. Whereas Daryl's point of view is more like, no, anime conventions are skeevy, dens of depravity. But in his gonzo journalism mode, he responds in his live journal comment. Here we go, Daryl Strett. That faceless man with the single enlarged eye, the Fink, Reinhardt Schreiber and the Nazi operators, the cheese party suicide circle, these broken phantoms are the true mainstays of the so-called anime convention, the term being but a cover to disguise the dark ritualistic child sex slave rings which operate under the protect wall given by the name. The unsuspecting public knows nothing of the truth, choosing instead to be satisfied with the idea of dropping off their seventh-grade daughters for 3 days with only a box of Glico. Glico. Glico's. Chocolate dipped in pretzels and a backpack containing either a frying pan, a plastic Hikari Ninari mallet, or a buster sword to supervise them. What moral compass do these pocky wraiths follow? Only the ring finger knows. The collected letters of Smith in Exile reveal that, upon trying to unleash the power of the Ultimate Eye, a dark wave of blight did sweep across the land, and the sun, long a source of amusement, turned against sentience, sending poison radiation to guarantee that your preteen daughter's anime collection consisted of several volumes worth of gravitation and fake. All these hidden truths of anime must be guarded most carefully by a secret world order, lest all of existence cease to be and fandom devolve into a miring, sweaty mass of sweat and body parts, commanded by the will of Stevie B. Moe Burgers for All. But there is a brethren and a betrayer among the keepers, one who would slowly but surely reveal these dread secrets of anime conventions to all who would seek for the sake of accelerating entropy so that they may be unmade. Stock shots of Vietnam intercut with chicks in jam, plate smash on a checkered floor. A clown runs out a flaming door. What's the purpose? What's the point? We really don't know. Just light the torches, cue the pigeons, and let the midget go. Then he gives a link to his Decadence and Depravity show, which is animeworldorder.blogspot.com, and it's show number 23. The other day, a Misa Misa cosplayer tried to pen my name in the dead book. Silly dusties, you can't kill me. And then he writes the Japanese phrase for you're already dead. I can't really read the kanji.
Yeah, that's freaking hilarious.
It's really funny.
that about made my day and provides me with enough raw material for my graduate thesis. So way to go, Daryl. Thanks a lot for that.
It's pretty awesome.
As I think we will probably explicate a great deal in the future, I don't think that anime conventions, even now, are with their preteen catgirls in heat, are truly dens of depravity. I think that it is not unlike, as Aaron remarked to me maybe a week ago, in the same way that Rocky Horror provides...
That was actually Jay.
What?
Zoe's friend, when he had him on the phone for the Anime Next show that you haven't listened to. That was his assertion, was that it's like Rocky Horror.
Oh, that's already... That's in the last show.
Yeah.
Oh.
My parents took me to see Rocky Horror when I was, like, 14. It's not a big deal. It's, you know, some people in underwear. There's nothing horribly...
Well, it is a big deal, because for a lot of people, that's where they... That is the, how you say,
the
flashpoint of their sexual identity, I think.
Really?
It's, yeah, well, I mean, it's ultimately, it's very healthy. You have to go through your sexual awakening somewhere, and if you are like those characters populating the Welcome to the NHK, instead it turns inward on itself, and what should be a blossoming into adolescence becomes like a hair growing inward, ever inward, turning and turning and turning.
For you.
And spiraling until there's a massive cyst that is your life.
All right.
But it's true.
But all the 13-year-olds we saw at Anime Boston, at, to a lesser extent, Anime Next, they were with their parents. The youngest kids there were, you know, escorted at all times. They weren't just being dropped off for the weekend. I can't say as much for the high school students there, but for the most part, they were, like, really well-behaved. There was an interesting comment on... Now Anime News Network has been doing, like, blogs by their main writers, which are really very short entries, but Zach, the answer man, commented how Anime Expo was the first con he ever went to, and it's still one of his favorite cons. And I was kind of like, oh, I think for a lot of people, the first con they go to, or at least the first really big con they go to, is usually their favorite con. And it's a mind-blowing experience to go to your first con.
Yeah.
But one girl commented, she was like, I don't know, the first con I ever went to was kind of disappointing because she said how she had to go with her dad. And her dad really didn't want to be there, so she felt really restrained all the time. Like, she couldn't really, you know, get really into it and be herself or anything like that because she was responsible for her dad having a bad time. And they would have to leave at a, you know, reasonable hour, not when she wanted to leave or whatever. Like, she felt like she was kind of on a leash. And then a few
but
years...
not literally on a leash.
Right. Like that one girl. She was at Anime Next, too. I saw her in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Same kids. And then other years when she got to go by herself, or she went with some friends once, but then when she went to a con all by herself, then she felt like she was finally getting the real experience.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to. Like,
well, for me, it was a very important part of growing up, because you are free from the Apollonian supervision of your parents and into the Bacchanalian wonder that is fandom.
Oh, there's I want to bring up something else about Anime Next. There's another important point here that I should try and make more briefly. When I was in high school, there weren't a lot of really straight-up geeks in our school, and I was hanging out with my friends at the time who were really into music, so I got to know a lot about rock and good bands and things like that. But what I'd always been interested in junior high and what I came back to in college was the really dorky stuff. The anime, the sci-fi, the Doctor Who, the Star Trek. I strayed away from those things in high school in an attempt to seem cooler. But then when I got into college, I felt like, well, now there are a bunch of smart people here. It's not like at high school. I can be myself and I can finally like be excited about geeky things and not be ashamed about it. I can join Sci-Fi Club. It took me a while to join Sci-Fi Club. I didn't immediately join. I was like, I had to come to terms with that. Am I that big of a nerd that I would join a sci-fi club?
Yes.
Inevitably, the answer is yes. And it just took me a couple months to roll around to that fact and end up joining all of those things.
Whereas I was always nerd to the core, geek of the week, nerd of the herd, dork of New York. I didn't always live in New York. The point here is I tried to give it up for a year because it seemed as though...
They just keep sucking me back in.
Yeah, but it turned out that, no, it's actually fandom that keeps me alive. And... It was a very bad year that I tried to give it up.
Yeah, you can't deny who you are.
Well,
turns out.
I could.
You can give it a try.
It didn't go well for me.
Right.
So I would recommend to your listeners at home, it's too late for you. You've tuned into
this
station.
It's too late.
Just give up.
Right.
Give in.
Got some video footage, just tiny, tiny clips on my digital camera at both Anime Boston and Anime Next. Although Anime Next, I kind of got some footage of Naruto cosplayers sort of cavorting together in a field and skipping around in a ridiculous manner, which I wanted to set to some music. Maybe I'll release that as like a very short video podcast. Might have maybe even a little more footage. The point I'm getting at here is we took a cab home from Anime Next to our friend's house, and the cab driver was like this woman who admitted to having been a hippie in the 60s, and she was like, she knew about the con going on because her daughter was thinking about going to it, but couldn't because she had to work or something. In a way, this hippie woman kind of said that it's basically the same thing. You dress up like a freak, and then you go and have fun. It's like this love-in. Essentially what it is, you walk around an anime convention, and people ask to hug you, or if you're unfortunate, they glomp you.
Yeah.
And it's all about loving this, you know, this one thing. All this external thing. It's another culture and not
inherent. Yeah, it's about the universal love until you find out that it doesn't necessarily work because... The universe that wants your love is horrendous and stinky and
it's
never
really,
leaves you alone.
It's kind of weird, but what is the difference
really
between
whiny.
Hippies dressing up like freaks running around in a field and hugging each other and an anime con where people are dressed up like freaks jumping around in a field hugging each other?
Well, I'd say at the very least, hippies, at least superficially, were political.
Yeah.
I don't think that...
Yeah, anime fans are pretty apolitical.
I think anime fans are pretty devotedly, you know, apolitical.
It's kind of an escapist thing. It's not like... I'm not like hippies weren't trying to escape the... established order.
Well, but they were doing so as a political movement.
Right.
All right. Jacob, last name withheld, writes to us and says, hello, Ninja Consultant. I'm a fan of anime and your show. I'm a sophomore at a high school in Florida. I have a question concerning maturity of anime. Usually when I'm looking at anime at my school or somewhere else, some immature student and even the most mature people say, I'm looking at porn. Certain incidents like this have
happened. Stop looking at porn at school.
Certain incidents like this have happened, like this when the Canadian Child Exploitation Committee Center said that practically all of anime is porn.
Well, he's referring to a specific news item, but anyway, go
right.
ahead.
Or when a registered sex offender downloaded Lolicon on a public computer. So then now some people think anime is also child pornography, and also how a 16-year-old wimp borrowed the 60 years of manga book, showed certain pictures from the book to his mother, who then got Bill Postmus to take it out of the shelves from the county library in L.A. He got all of this info from Anime News Network, by the way, he says. If you can explain why some people think anime is porn on email, or even on the podcast, if you can. Well, we did respond to this email, but I guess we can say a little bit more about this point.
Yeah. So
we're talking about porn here.
There are two dynamics where a lot of people think that anime is either kids' stuff, that it's basically Pokemon, or that it's basically pornography, because for a while in the early 90s, and this is basically what I said in the email, a lot of the anime that was being imported was like Legend of the Overfiend, where there was a big market for anime porn, or like very hardcore adult titles like Vampire Hunter D, where it's just blood and gore and guts, or else, you know, tentacle rape and
right.
horrible pornography type stuff. And that's a lot of that, thanks to Media Blasters.
Yes, thank you, Media Blasters, for that.
So that's what a lot of people got exposed to, and that was like the only kind of anime they'd seen. And due to that, a lot of Blockbusters started just shelving anime in the adult section. Or
right.
even me, growing up in like the mid to late 90s, I wondered why in our local sort of independently owned video store, the only anime titles they had, you had to be over 18 to rent. So as soon as I turned 18, I rented them, damn it, because I really loved Sailor Moon, and I was going to watch some more anime, whatever anime I could get my hands on. Wow, did I ever find out why
you had
to be
18 to rent? Yeah, so you went from Sailor Moon
to
the Nazi death rape machine. Ritsuka Doji 3,
oh,
I believe.
Yeah. And Crying Freeman? No,
well, now I understand more about you. But be that as it may, I have a kind of a strange answer to this, which is that, so what is porn anyway, right? Larry Flint is famous for saying that pornography or obscenity is, quote, whatever gives a Supreme Court judge an erection. pornography is essentially what the law says it is. So I have no doubt, especially knowing Japanese culture as we do, and the way moe in the past 10 years has become moe. Have we ever talked about what moe is?
No.
All right. You want to do that?
No.
Briefly?
No.
Not on this
show.
That's
it. No. There's not time for that.
There's not time for that.
It's a long and debatable explanation, and you can read all about it on Wikipedia.
On Wikipedia, under the moe, M-O-E, definition.
Right.
I guess, sure. We'll refer this to a later podcast.
Where we talk about Kokoro Library.
Right. And talk about Kokoro Library and how, really, for those of us who do not wish anime to be associated so completely with pornography, certainly the Japanese animation industry does not really help us out that much, because they go to great lengths to fetishize things that would otherwise be innocent. This significantly muddies the waters. I guess more on that in another show.
Oh, but then the Pokemon boom hit in about 2000-2001, where suddenly it was like a giant explosion of merchandise, and people became much more aware as Pokemon went into syndication that there's a significant portion of kids shows that are anime or whatever shows for kids happen to bend into fitting into their time slot. So there's like this dynamic of it's one or the other, and there's nothing in between. But we all know as anime fans that there's a wide range of things in between. It's just the general populace's perception is much different.
Right.
I also finished up with an anecdote about the guy who used to be president of NYU Anime Club. He went to Africa as part of the Peace Corps. I think he was a medic.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, and he wrote an email saying to the club later, after he'd been there for 6 months, saying that there's absolutely no anime at all in any part of Africa he'd been to, except for once a woman saw the shirt he was wearing, which had an anime character on it, and described how she caught her son watching some of that stuff once, and she meant pornography, and it ruined her life forever. And that was her only exposure to anime. Was
yeah.
just to some kind of porn. Yes.
Awkward.
Yeah, so you're going to have to resubscribe to our feed soon, and I'll make a separate little show that says exactly how to do that, but I really and I'll also add to the show notes how to do it. Not to the show notes, but I'll make a section on the site. But I'll make a little separate cast that says, if you don't resubscribe, this is the last show you're going to get. What you need to know is the new feed you need to subscribe to is feeds.feedburner.com/ninjaconsultant. Right now, nobody's subscribed to it, so hopefully soon I will see that everyone is subscribed to it, including me. I guess I need to subscribe to that at home and at work. A quick way to do it in iTunes is to go to Advanced, subscribe to Podcast, and just paste in the URL, but there will also be links to it and so forth on our redesigned website. So that's all for show number 24, and maybe we'll see some of you at Swift's on Monday, or we'll get a lot of emails on the 11th saying, oh my god,
oh,
I just listened to the
show
now.
Oh, I totally forgot. Oh no.
I'm so sorry, I didn't go. My computer was broke for a week.
See. And if we haven't answered your email or read it on the air,
we only got through half a stack. So
yeah, really sorry about this, but there is a lot to talk about. Ninja Consultant signing off.